When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 237th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. And joined with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, it's been a minute. How you doing?
Dude, to steal a line from my favorite Detroiter, guess who's back? Back again. You know, Floyd and Austin are back. Tell your friends. I am so excited to be back. Since our last episode, I have turned a completely different age. I went from 40, 42, and 43. My wife threw me a semi-surprise AEW or wrestling-themed birthday party. Shout out to my friend Echo. My friend Echo has a boyfriend named Keith. He came full out John Cena. Like, short, the headband, the belt, the towel, like, full out John Cena.
There you go.
Because she asked people to dress up. He not only understood the assignment, he fucking executed the assignment flawlessly. He'll never listen to the show. He will never listen to the show. He will never know I gave him a compliment. But still, shout out to him. He showed up to the party decked out. Good in my book. Hey, you know, that kind of thing. So, no, we had some barbecue. We just sat around, and it was just like, had a good time. I got to, you know, hold court and talk shit about wrestling, you know, and what I love to do with people I love. And, yeah, I am living my 43rd year. I'm excited for that. A lot of other shit happened. We're going to try to catch you up the best. Okay, and I want to set the standard, set the table right now. We are not going to be able to cover everything. We're going to, between me and Austin, Austin works. I work 80 hours a week. Austin works a shit ton of hours, and he does gigs, and he's, you know, a regular 20-something-year-old person that has a life. So we watch as much wrestling as anybody, and we did our best to talk to each other. Yeah, over to make notes in the pre-show to make sure we covered the big stuff. But if there's like a detail that we missed there or something, I apologize. We'll try to catch it on next week. Please hit us up on Twitter, like DM us on All Things Elite or whatever. But we're gonna do our best. So we're the proclivity of positivity, but hey, we are not the reflection of perfection. You know what I mean? We're gonna do our best. We are going to do our best. Because I'm sitting here racking. I just like, Austin, I've been racking my brain for the last 2 hours. Like, I want to make sure we get everything we can, because it has been, and we haven't really communicated a lot on All Things Elite that we haven't been doing a show, because we didn't know we weren't doing a show. We fully planned over the last couple of weeks to do a show, but again, we have lives, and shit, it was just one of those periods of times that usually happens every year where it's just our schedules just fucking clash, and that's what happened.
It is, guys. We appreciate your patience with us. Yes. And we're glad to be back.
Yeah. But this was not a planned hiatus.
A good majority of what we missed.
Yes, it was not a planned hiatus. Hey, you want to do the show tonight? Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay. Now I found out I have to work at like butt fuck in the morning. And I'm like, oh, well, yep. I have to switch schedules this week. It was stupid.
Yeah, it was all kinds of messed up. Yeah. But like I said, we're glad to be back, and we're going to just get into everything from that we can possibly fit into a show from AEW this past few weeks. Before we get into the show, though, guys, we do appreciate your constant support, and be sure you guys continue to download this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us, and give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode, and follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible, and you can check out all the other shows they have on their network, filled with some incredible podcasters, incredible people, and some incredible shows that you should absolutely be listening to. I am at Austin Sumowitz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And we're just going to go ahead and get into Dynamite from this past Wednesday. Before we cover a good majority of the news that we missed from this past week, I will also mention, too, happy one-year anniversary of Collision. This past Saturday was the year anniversary of Collision, which in itself was a very fun show. I love the fact that the way that they closed out the show is we had the Bang Bang Gang, who are basically, like, it's them and the House of Black, who are the faces of Collision. Those are guys that have been significantly part of Collision's birth from year one to now, and having them close out the show I thought was absolutely the way they should have gone. And I think they are two teams that have genuinely benefited from AEW Collision. Maybe some other shows, some other talent, like, get some matches on Collision, but for the most part, like, those two teams, that's Collision is where they really started to, like, build their momentum and get themselves going. So I love the fact that they closed out. And the show itself was also a really good night of wrestling, yes. You know, as a whole.
Yeah, and a shout out to CMFTR. That's the house CMFTR feels, especially CM Punk. I do give him a lot of shit, but honestly, Collision probably wouldn't exist if he wasn't with AEW.
No,
I mean, he was the
have been another show, but it would not have been Collision.
Yeah, it was like he was the starring vehicle of that show. The whole show was to build a show around CM Punk. We now have an extra show, and unfortunately, we don't have CM Punk anymore, but he's the reason the show got built. So I'm not one of those people that once you leave AEW, I'm like, fuck you forever. I hate you. I'm going to give you your credit. I mean, we probably don't have Collision right now if CM Punk was never with the company. So shout out to him, you know, good luck in, you know, what he's doing. I'm personally, we're not here to talk about WWE, but I'm personally loving him and Drew right now. I am like, it's probably my favorite thing in wrestling, AEW included, because of Punk's injury. The build has just been amazing because they've had to do everything without actually really touching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, anything but a match. So when that match happens.
It's like, dude. So I just wanted to give a shout out. And of course, FTR, who, you know, after Punk left, you know, they, you know, right there with House of Black, right there with, you know, the other groups became the faces of Collision. They are the Colliders. Shout out to the Collision Cowboys and everybody that has worked hard on Collision. I mean, I'm about to get a residency in Arlington, and I am really excited about that because, you know, our guys work hard on Saturdays, and trying to put on a Saturday wrestling show is fucking difficult. And anybody that pretends like it's easy to get people to either stay at home. Or, you know, push their plans later so they can watch wrestling isn't hard. you're stupid. Even Saturday Night Live, you know, one of the longest running shows ever, they count on people watching it Sunday morning. They made that on their show their own joke. It's like, we make a show on Saturday night for people to watch Sunday morning. And unfortunately, whatever you want to say, that's a lot of times when people watch Collision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, 1,000%. Yeah. So, like, we appreciate Collision. We appreciate having more AEW wrestling that we can enjoy. Now we'll go ahead and move into Dynamite from this past Wednesday in Fairfax, Virginia. Virginia is for lovers. And the show kicked off commercial-free with MJF versus Roosh. And, man, these guys did a really damn good job. MJF still continuing to do his very heelish stuff, but just with this added element of him being, you know, he's our scumbag. It's the best part about what we have with MJF right now, is he's just the biggest fuck. But he's so fun and he's so entertaining.
We haven't seen anything like this since Eddie Guerrero lied, cheat, and steal.
No, seriously. It's so fun when he just when he was doing the chop off, and then he eventually was just like trying to build the crowd up for his shop, and then he just thumps him in the eye.
Yeah, and it's just like, this dude can do all the same stuff people used to boo him for, and they cheer him now.
Yes.
And it's like, it is a unique place to be, because if he ever goes truly all the way like Dick Hill, he's going to have to do something over the top, because fans kind of expect him to be a dick, and they kind of love that about him. He went too, the people were like mad because he went too nice when he was with Adam Cole. We didn't want want that. We didn't want you to neuter yourself. You know, we still wanted that, just a better version.
Yeah. MJF got to a point where he got fucking rocked. Like, Roosh kept the physicality of this match to a high level, and like, MJF was selling his ass off. The point where you had MJF thrown over his head into the corner, and he just bounces. He just fucking bounces. And then Max was trying to get some position on the apron, but he got belly to belly off of the apron onto the floor, which hurt like a motherfucker to watch. But eventually MJF was able to hit the Heat Seeker pile driver and then set up a brain buster and get the pin on Roosh. But then the Cage of Agony proceeds to come up on the big screen and basically say, we have a message from the EVPs. At Forbidden Door, you are facing, I got to make sure I can pronounce his name.
It's Hechicero.
Hechicero. That's what I want to make sure. He will be facing Hechicero at Forbidden Door. And that's a huge, huge matchup for MJF to have. Just for him to get a big spot right there. And I'm like kind of like okay with where we're at right now with the Cage of Agony being like kind of what MJF's feuding with. But eventually, you know, I need MJF to be able to get to that point where he can start feuding fully with the Kingdom, with the Undisputed Kingdom. Cage of Agony is a nice little like prelim, but once we get MJF getting after the Undisputed Kingdom, that's what I'm waiting for.
They want you. I feel like they truly want you to forget that MJF has a problem with the Undisputed Kingdom until Adam Cole is back, you know, and then it'll just come. It'll seem like it come out of nowhere, but we're all waiting for it, you know, that kind of thing. So, but you know, Gates of Agony, they're goons, you know. And it was like they were goons, and they didn't have anybody to goon for, because Swerve didn't want them to goon for him anymore. And he's like, and EVP's like, you can come goon for us. You can come be goons for us, you know. And it's like, yep, anybody that says anything, and I love it, because I know some people might not like this over-the-top authority bag I feel, but what I've loved about it is it ties the whole company together. If you say anything bad about the Young Bucks, how they manage, how they wrestle, whatever, they're going to send their squad after you, right? They're going to be like, dude. So I'm thinking, and this is weird, because I'm looking at it, how they're doing it. Blood and Guts could be the Elite, right?
Yes.
And then they're going to have a fifth member. I don't know who the fifth member is, and maybe it might be a returning Hangman. but it looks like it's going to be the Elite. And Team AEW, from what I can tell, could end up being Swerve, MJF, Will Ospreay, and the fucking Acclaimed.
I know.
Is that not a group?
Is that not a money show?
Is that not a, I'm going to call my friends and say, okay, I know you haven't been watching for the Dynamite in a while, but we're about to get these sets of people in a fucking War Games. You need to watch it this week.
Yeah, no, that group with Blood and Guts would just be absolutely fire.
Yeah, I'm thinking about jumping in a car to Nashville. I
would feel like you couldn't miss that.
Yes, I'm like, but it just feels like everything that's happening in the show, with the Bucks being the tying piece together, it looks like it could be a combination of that five right there.
Yeah. It's just, woof, give that to me, please, on a silver platter. Yes. I'm begging you.
Yes.
We'll move over now to a face-off we had between the world champion, Swerve Strickland, and the international champion, Will Ospreay. First off, shout out to the Juneteenth edition of Swerve's entrance video that he had. I thought that was a nice little touch that they had.
Feeling real free today. We was feeling real free on Wednesday.
Excalibur even said it's Juneteenth. You know what that means, to start off the show. So they made sure to make that a thing, yeah.
Yeah, but, and the girl Willow even said happy Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So Will got into the ring and faced off against Swerve and been like, well, the last time we were in the ring together, you said that I can't carry the weight of both worlds, but I am more than capable of doing that because I've held three different championships at three different continents at the same time. He said, you're going to find out that I'm the best wrestler in the world, to which Swerve says, so you already messed up because I'm the best wrestler in the world today. And, you know, we took two different career paths for the last 5 years, but it culminates at Forbidden Door. Don't make me forget last year. You beat Kenny Omega, but it wasn't by yourself. You're going to have to call Don Callis to try to take this title away from me. And Will was like, y'all think I need Callis? I do not. I can do this by myself. But you want to bring up what I did to Kenny Omega? Don't remember. After that, it was Okada, then Jericho. While you had a hit row, I had a hit list.
Bars.
That's a bar. That's a bar. That's a fucking bar. And he's like, I didn't miss one person on that list. And said, do you now feel the pressure being in the world with the best in the world? This is their first pay-per-view main event as champion. Everyone is here to see. I love the fact, too, that he said first pay-per-view main event as champion as a dig. Like, you didn't even main event your first pay-per-view as champion. That's a dig. Like, I like, even if it's like under the radar, that's a dig. And he said, everyone now is here to see you. What if that kill shot you promised me is just centimeters off? Whatever move I hit, you're going to wake up without that championship. If I use that Tiger Driver 91, you won't walk out of the arena alive. And Swerve's like, say if I go off of certainties. This is your first pay-per-view main event, period. So I don't have any friends because I got rid of them. Anyone I had to go through to get the championship, they're in the grave because they're just numbers to me. And again, he goes, you want to use the what ifs? What if I break your leg at Forbidden Door? Then who's Will Ospreay? Because you can break my legs, arms, and whatever. I can still walk out at Forbidden Door as the mogul and as the champion. You've got to sacrifice to get into the position that I'm in. Sacrifice for the love of your family, mentioned his kids. And he's like, don't you mention my son again. And he's like, Nana then tries to get in there, be like, save all the emotion for Forbidden Door, and tries to call it off by the whose house, Swerve's house. And Will just immediately goes, my house. So he leaves, but then Swerve like, no, come back. What if I do want to make this personal? Because it's always personal for me. Send your regards to your wife and son again when you go home. And then they got into each other's faces. And the Don Callis family was not okay with how they got thrown under the bus. And Don's like, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Trent was like, he betrayed him for saying he didn't need him. And then they all kind of walk off. This is a damn good promo battle. Damn good promo battle. Like I said, bars are being thrown, jabs are being nailed, and just like, those are two guys that can talk their asses off and also wrestle their asses off. So, damn good job of selling that match as the main event of Forbidden Door. That's really, really all you needed to do for that, because already it's like, yeah, I need to see Will Ospreay and Swerve for the world title.
A couple weeks ago when we didn't do a show, I was going to come out and say, I was going to talk about on the show how this feud, it feels like a big match, but there's no heat. Oh my God! I'm glad I could.
Oh, they got the heat, and
I'm like, stoked. I am so happy that I couldn't record a show, because I would have sounded so dumb. Because there is so much heat. They have corrected this over the last couple weeks. Very good promos. Very like, dude. Like, I always heard Will Ospreay couldn't talk, or he might not be able to promo in America. Because if you listen to his New Japan promos, there's a lot of fucks and a lot of, you know, stuff you can't say on American national TV. This dude proves talent is talent, right? It's like when you take Randy Moss and you're like, how's he going to do in the Patriots offense? He's fucking Randy Moss. He's going to be great. You know what I mean? It's like, because he's Randy Moss. And it's like, that's what you got with Will Ospreay. It was like all these questions like, can he do this? Can he adapt American talent? He's fucking Will Ospreay. He is the best in-ring performer on the planet. Yes, he could adapt. Because that's what comes along with being the best in-ring performer on the planet. Okay, yes, he can adapt to the style. Yes, he can be here. It's because he's fucking Will Ospreay. Put some respect on this man's name. Okay, any style he goes to WWE, he'd be running that bitch in a second. Wherever you put him, his talent is going to come through, because he is that talented. And then you have Swerve, and it's like, Swerve, dude, I don't know how people think he's being presented, but if you don't think AEW's behind him as their guy right now, just TV time on the show compared to anyone else. If he's not one, he's very much in the top three. You know what I mean? I think he's one.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know they do the little slots with Jericho, but if you talk about total TV time, all this promo time was like 20 minutes. This wasn't a match.
Right.
This was just talking. He is their guy. They are making a star. If he loses the title to Will Ospreay or whatever, he is going to be a prominently featured wrestler for the rest of his time in AEW.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
And then we moved into one thing we also forgot to talk about since we weren't able to do a show last week. Mark Briscoe needs a microphone at all times.
Dude.
That man is a walking, and Kyle O'Reilly just staring in awe as this man keeps going and going and going.
I don't even think Mark Briscoe knows what he's going to say when they play. When they say action, I don't think he knows what he's going to say. And it's like, it's such a method to his madness.
There's two words in the day.
Yes, because even when he messes up, he cleans it up. Or I don't even know if he's messing up.
That might have been the plan. There's no way you can mess up if you're Mark Briscoe cutting a promo, because it just fits. Whatever you say will fit.
He made it. He makes it tight. He gets it about the opponents and about the match. And it's in his world, you know, he treats every match like it's the most important match on the show. And that's what you want from somebody that you don't have on the mid card, because it puts stakes on it no matter what. I just thought he was, I did like, is it my type of promo? Let's be real. No, but it's so fucking effective, because that's all everyone talks about after he cuts it.
Yeah, I know. It's, and like I said, the memes are unbelievably good, unbelievably spectacular. So the match itself, we had Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, Dante Martin, and Kyle O'Reilly versus Zack Sabre Jr., Roderick Strong, Kyle Fletcher, and Konosuke Takeshita. Couple things I want to mention. First, Zack Sabre Jr. is so fucking good. Like, every time I watch him, I'm like, this guy is like butter on toast. This dude is smooth as shit. Like, every single maneuver, like transition, counter he does is so fluent that I firmly believe that he's just a fluid, and he just constantly moves in just this way that is just, you can't not like watch in amazement when that dude works. He's unbelievably good. And pairing him against a guy like Orange Cassidy, who does not give a fuck, lovely pairing. I truly enjoyed that. Dante was flying all over the place, so much so that he kind of flew so far that he missed that giant pile, kind of. He got some decent contact, but I just can't believe how well that dude can fly. It's genuinely unbelievable. This was just true, absolute chaos for a good 15 minutes or so, I would say. Dante got powerbombed to oblivion by Konosuke Takeshita, and it was such a fucking vicious, vicious powerbomb. And eventually, though, as the match happened, continued on, Kyle O'Reilly pushes Orange Cassidy out of the way and takes the hit for Orange from Roderick Strong. And then Orange Cassidy hits the Orange Punch, gets the pinfall. And that's a nice little preview for Orange Cassidy's match that he's going to have at Forbidden Door. But then Jungle Jackoff shows up and proceeds to knock out Dante Martin with a blindside shot while Mark Briscoe and Konosuke are fighting up the ramp. Zack Sabre Jr. and Orange Cassidy get into the face-off ahead of their match at Forbidden Door. So we're doing a good job of trying to make sure everyone's got their tie-in build as we... It felt like something that they would do on the go-home show for Forbidden Door, but we're about a little over a week out from Forbidden Door. But it was a nice way of getting everybody involved. All I will say is that I truly love the fact... Because, A, we had our matches where we had people get qualified for the vacant TNT Championship ladder match that'll happen at Forbidden Door. Jack Perry's winning it. I'm not stupid. And all I'll say is I just saw a tweet that said define no aura in wrestling, and Jack Perry was on there, and I was like, that's perfect. That's, you didn't even need to edit. There's no edits, no descriptions needed. No aura in wrestling. Picture of Jackoff's face. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's everything I got to say. I tried to make sure I got everything in there, but this was a really fun match.
Dude, and I loved everything that they've done with Jack Perry. I as far as rehabilitating from someone that, you know, kind of had to go away for a while and they came back and how they're executing. I'm going to use this to say this. I hope Sammy Guevara gets the same treatment when he gets back. He gets that same energy. I hope he gets the same energy that they're giving to Jack Perry, because it's like, if you look at it, right? I mean, Darby's going to be back. Darby's hot as ever. You know, it's like you have your four pillars, right? And it's like, I thought Jack, I always said he was the broken pillar. I was like, I don't think he's part of the, he should be in the four. And they fixed him. And it's like, dude, give this same energy to Sammy Guevara, because, and this is just like analysis. Is Jack Perry my favorite wrestler? No. But I love everything they've done to him. They have taken someone that I didn't see much in and have presented him in such a different way that I do think there's a path to him being AEW world champion one day, which I did not think when he went away. Because I was like, I remember the all-in match, and it was like him versus Hook, and I didn't give a fuck who won that match. Let's be real. I didn't care. It was a match. It was existent. I didn't care about Jack Perry. I didn't care about, you know, what he was doing with the Flair boots and stuff, and they have just rehabilitated this man's character as far as with the AEW audience, and I think they've done it well. This TNT match feels big, and in a lot of ways, it feels like the second or third most important match on the card. I mean, and a lot of people think Jack Perry's going to win, but AEW does a good job of going against your expectations just enough. And I do think, you know, Jack Perry winning, I mean, that's a perfect all four of the members of the Elite with a title. That's, you know, that's perfect. That's what you want from a heel faction. But if they go somewhere where, like, Jack Perry barely doesn't win and they start a few with them, I actually think that might be hotter, you know. But there's a lot of different ways you can go, but I just wanted to I have been sitting on this Jack Perry thing because, you know, again, is he our favorite wrestler? No. But as talk about rehabilitating a character that was kind of dead in essence, that a lot of people didn't take serious, they've done a good job.
I'm happy you feel that way.
Correct. Correct.
We then move over to an AEW World Tag Team Championship Eliminator match between the Acclaimed and the Fuck Bucks. Once again, I have made the statement that Kazuchika Okada is doing the greatest carry job we've ever seen in professional wrestling. He continued to emphasize that in this show. The Acclaim comes out. Max gets ready to do his rap diss towards the Young Bucks. And his mic gets cut off. And the Bucks are all being like, oh, I can't hear anything. And then you have Okada just on the screen with the audio board in front of him. And he's just smacking away at it. And he's like, I pressed the wrong button. I'm so sorry. See him move his hands off of his face, and he's got the coldest stare, and he just goes, bitch.
Dude.
He's spectacular.
He's the most efficient wrestler in the world, because I've never seen somebody get over so much with so few words. What did he say?
Genuinely.
10, 15 words, and then everybody's like, that's all everybody was talking about on Twitter.
That is that fair, and again, people give so much shit, I feel like, undeservedly to Japanese wrestlers who, like, you know, oh, you can't speak English, your promos suck. Bullshit. Like, bullshit. Like, because guys like Okada, yes, he doesn't speak fluent English. He speaks enough to the point where you listen to what he says, and everything he says matters. And just from saying, like, a couple words, and a fake cry sold to perfection. He's over as fuck. And he's still one of the best wrestlers in the world today. So then you have that added on to that. Like I said, the carry job is spectacular. Like, it needs to be studied. His shoulders should be donated to science when he is no longer with us. Because those shoulders, I swear to God, could carry the Great Wall of China. Because the amount of slack that this man has to pull beside him and does so willingly. Like, because listen, you got to deal with both Jackson's brothers. That's a lot of weight you got to carry. And Okada does it just with flying colors. Just, again, I give all the love to Okada. His current shirt on shop.com is unbelievable. Shut up, bitches. Spectacular. I love Okada.
I saw a friend of mine, I'm just not going to say who his name is on Twitter, because I don't want, you know, people going after him or whatever. And he's like, no one will wear this shirt. And I'm like, no wrestling fan will wear this shirt. And I'm just like, first of all, I try my best, because I was about to speak in absolute to say I don't speak in absolutes. I try my best not to speak in absolutes, because, again, since the All In where I saw a little girl crying over getting to meet James Ellsworth, I realized everyone has fans. Everyone has fans. So when you say, nobody will wear that shirt, yeah, I think a lot of people wear that shirt. You probably sold a lot of shirts for the company by saying no one wear the shirt, because guess what? That shit's in my cart right now, because I'm just like, dude, it's, you know.
If you're going to say that no one will wear that shirt, people literally hit, like, one of the best-selling shirts in AEW history is Scissor Me Daddy Ass.
Yes,
like, I'm sorry. With that shirt becoming a bestseller, the parameters are off.
Yes.
Like, they're just off.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, AEW, the new tagline they've been using, the best wrestlers still there. They was like, it's for the sickos. And the sickos are going to wear, sickos are going to wear a shut up bitches shirt. And they're not going to think twice about it.
It's literally their third top selling shirt, not counting the Billy Goat FC jersey and the Full Gear DVD. It's the third best selling shirt currently on shop.com.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's so funny, because I've seen people complain about, you know, the AEW shirts recently. I saw that on Twitter earlier. And all I'll say to this is, the thing about it, the reason, the setup of AEW, they can put out a ton of shirts, right? Because they're print to order. So if a shirt doesn't sell, if a shirt doesn't sell, it doesn't really mean anything. They didn't order 10,000 shirts in a day. It's just a design. You don't like it, just don't buy it. Buy the next one or whatever. It's really, it's not this big a deal, because when WWE puts out a new shirt, they you know, they buy a shit ton of those shirts and then they're like, oh, we got to eat it if they don't sell or whatever. But AEW is working on that print to order thing. So I'm just like, and this is me trying to pretend like I understand the business side of it, but I know that's how pro wrestling tees is. It's a print to order. So you could put up 50 designs, right? And and it doesn't really make a difference because if some orders, it's just code, you know, at that point. So I don't know. I will say this. I do think their shirts are great. I do think some shirts recently have been weak. I will say this. To those people, design a shirt that everybody wants to buy. Do it. Because it's not fucking easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. You know, like one of the most successful shirts in WWE history was just Stone Cold with it saying what on it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that was going to be successful? It just says what? We'll see. We'll see going forward. But just know it's like that. A lot of times with AEW, I will say this often, that they are the most scrutinized wrestling company ever. And people were like, well, what about WWE? Okay, WWE gets plenty of scrutiny. But AEW is the only place that I see. This is a complaint I saw today, that Will Ospreay doesn't dress like a champion. And I'm like, he dresses like himself. His whole character is that he's himself. That's it. His whole thing is that he's a guy named Will Ospreay.
Some of these people realize how much they sound like the guy that they hate so much, Vince McMahon, when you say shit like that?
Yes. And it's
you could say that in Vince's voice. I feel like if you said a lot of things that certain wrestling Twitter people say, in Vince's voice, it would sound so natural. But yet y'all would say you hate Vince, though.
Yes.
Roman, you understand Reigns. Like how you're so fucking backwards with your thinking?
Yes. Roman Reigns, their champion for 4 years, came out in t-shirts, pants, and some J's on. Every week.
And also for a good period of time, too, wore a bulletproof vest in a company that no guns existed.
Every week. Stone Cold wore jean shorts and Austin 316 shirt when he was catching promo.
Black trunks and a very cheap looking sleeveless jacket.
John Cena wore jorts and his hot shirt at that moment is. The Rock just wears Project Rock gear. Who is this person that he should be dressing like? Because literally, there's only one wrestler that dresses quote unquote like a champion, and it's Cody Rhodes, but he's been champion for what, 3 months?
And people are already dissing him.
Yeah, so I'm just like,
people are already like, oh man, it's getting to the Super Cena levels. I'm like, it's been 3 months.
Let me wrap, and it's been 3 months, and he literally, out of the three matches he had, he beat AJ twice and he beat Logan Paul. It's not like he's like, oh, it's not like they're bringing in this all-time list of wrestlers and he's running through them. No, but I'm not going to get into the WWE. Exactly. I mean, I'm going to leave that for the WWE podcast. But no, what I'm getting to is, I don't understand your, who's the last champion that rocked suits in AEW?
Jericho? Y'all miss Jericho as champion, huh?
Yeah, Kenny, I think maybe Kenny Omega did it in his, heel run as champion.
His heel run, yeah.
You're grasping at fucking straws.
It's wrestling Twitter. There's not enough straws to grasp at for wrestling.
And he's like, oh, I know. I just dress, and Will Ospreay, I just dress like me. He's like, how about the $18,000 watch I was wearing?
Boom.
It's just so funny. It's just like, dude. And it's because AEW, I think, is new. Everybody's like, well, I can kind of push it in my direction about where I want wrestling to be. And, you know, and it's just like, no. Tony Khan has a vision of what he wants his professional wrestling to be. You're going to dig it or you're not going to dig it. He makes wrestling for the sickos. You're either going to roll with it or you're not going to roll with it. But, dude, some of your criticisms, and I'm using air quotes because I don't think they're real, I don't think it actually bothers you, are just laughable at this point.
Nope. it's just, again, it's wrestling Twitter being what it is.
Yes.
Worthless. Yeah. Just completely worthless for the most part. Getting back to the match between the Young Bucks and the Acclaimed, I know it's a lot more interesting talking about anything other than the Young Bucks. I truly understand. But we'll do it because we love you guys and we are all things Elite. So we'll even cover the worst things about the Elite. This match was kind of like nutty. It seemed like it was a tornado tag match that was never called a tornado tag match. Do you feel like that was pretty safe to say? Because it really didn't have a position where like there was like chasing for that hot tag or anything like that in this match. It was just kind of like they started fighting on the outside from the jump, teaming up on Anthony Bones for the most part, really going after his leg. And then it just felt like a tornado tag match for pretty much a majority of the match. Until it ended. And it was like, why wasn't it just called that? I don't know if that was just a nitpick for me, because it just felt like, you know, there was all the like tandem offense was being used, which was well done and it was well executed and everything like that. But I was also like, this is a standard tag match. I don't know.
Let's be real, for most of it. I'm going to say this. Wow. That's great. Cause I didn't even think about that until you just mentioned it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how many tags were actually made.
I probably could have counted maybe like three.
How many tags were made? I didn't even think about it. I watched it and, you know, I enjoyed the match. I thought the match was good. I loved the whole premise that they could just couldn't put the Acclaimed away. They, you know, like Anthony Bowens, and, you know, Max kept getting
the shit kicked out of him.
And Max was just getting in there in time. And they, in a lot of ways, you can say the story of the match wasn't that the Acclaimed beat the Young Bucks. It was that they survived the Young Bucks, because the Young Bucks threw everything they had. They used all their finishers, and they could never pin the Acclaimed. Their
finishers, yeah. Tried to use the belts, eventually got caught, and accidentally hit Matt with the belt. Then the Arrival got hit, and then the mic drop got hit on Matt, and then because of the Bucks being like trying to throw everything, including to cheat, they got caught, and they screwed up and allowed the Acclaimed to win this Eliminator match. So now they will get a future AEW World Tag Team Championship match somewhere down the line. I would assume Forbidden Door. And Daddy S was then there to celebrate immediately afterwards, which was nice. It was an all right match, I felt like. But again, I just couldn't get over that. I was in my head. I was like, when the fuck has a tag been made? I just felt like this. Because I got it because it started before the bell rang and everything like that. But then even after, when the bell rang, when they were fighting before that, I was like, this isn't a tornado tag. I was like, where the fuck are the tags?
Well, just know this. And like, because AEW has built this up over the last few years, this was only the second time an Eliminator match has been won.
I know. We're so accustomed to them not winning that. It was a genuine surprise to me when the Acclaimed did win this match. I was truly expecting the Bucks to win it handily. And again, massive shouts out to the Acclaimed on that. They did a good job in this match. We'll then move on to backstage. We have the incredible growth of Hook and Samoa Joe just talking about nonsense before they go and beat some ass is something that they have consistently done.
and it's theirs. I'm like, yes. I love this because, I mean, again, the unique presentation of it. I don't remember anybody saying this. It's like, it's the most like gangster shit ever. It's like a mob movie. Where they got somebody in their trunk and they're just talking about what they're about to go eat.
And they're so casual about it, and then all of a sudden the switch flips.
Yes, yeah, so they just pull the guy out the car and they're like, "So what are we going to eat? Oh man, want the rigatoni?" And it's like, "Oh okay," boom, shoots the guy in the head, and then they just move on and go back to talking about their dinner.
It's mundane to them.
Yes, it's like this is what they do, and the AEW, call them, challenge them, say, oh man, I hurt so many people. I listen to a lot of different podcasts, trying to get back into podcasts, like listening, because, you know, it helps you come up with your own unique thoughts. And I've heard a lot of people have been out on Hook. 3 weeks with Joe, Hook feels like Hook again.
Yeah.
3 weeks with Joe. Oh. He fucked.
I felt like them pairing Hook with Samoa Joe was the best thing they could do for him,
dude. Because it's like when you stand next to a badass, you seem like a badass. They've given Hook two badasses, two of the biggest badasses in wrestling history, and Shibata and Samoa Joe. He comes off as more of a badass. He comes off more as a threat. I love it. And he's like, and Samoa Joe's like, I need you to go a little extra. He's like, a little extra? And he was like, the way Hook bounced in that ring, he was ready to, he was going to put somebody down. And it was just, yeah, I love that. And I love that Smart Mark and the Premier Athletes weren't just stupid heels.
Yeah, no, they actively like made sure that they were not in there at all. They wanted to stay out of there for sure. So it was a good move on their part to be hiding and then challenging them to a three-on-three match on Collision. And again, Shibata with his phone translator is still one of the best things ever. We'll then move into, like I said, consistently the thing that has me the most entertained with AEW. Contract signing for the AEW Women's World Championship match at Forbidden Door between Timeless Toni Storm and Mina.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Shirakawa, mediated by Mariah May. And again, she was like, I love both of you. I love, too, how much she was like laying it on and people were not buying it because people know that like Mariah is just waiting to stab Tony in the back. And you saw a little bit of this, too, in this segment. So she's like, I love both of you. What? No matter what happens. And then Mina just tells her to shut up. And then she goes, Tony, when you were in Stardom, you were a legend. You became a star in AEW. But as a champion, you got soft. You got weak. And everyone wants me. Everyone wants Mina. We want Mina. Nobody wants you. And she's going to take your title and my girl. Big shot there. And then Tony was like again, amazing how she just snaps back immediately. And they sign the contract and make it official. And then Mina then pulls the ultimatum. You got to choose Mariah, me or her. And I was just like, oh, God, please put these two up on a stage and then have Mariah with the rose. And she has to give the rose to somebody. I want this shit to be like so like drawn out and ridiculous. Soraya then comes out being like, I'm sick of this. I'm so sick of this. And you know what? I didn't come alone. And she's with Harley Cameron. But then a third shows up and it's Anna Jay who pulls Mina Shirakawa out of the ring and throws her into the steel post. Soraya goes after Mariah May. Anna Jay and Harley Cameron are then beating her up against the turnbuckles. Toni Storm protects Mariah May, but eventually as she tries to go and hit Soraya with a hip attack through a tape through the contract sign table, Soraya moves and she crashes through the table, and Mariah May, not even trying to help her. She's too busy being attached to the hip of Mina Shirakawa. And again, that's like you're waiting to stab Tony in the back because you didn't even try to go and help her after she threw herself through a table. You're too busy attached to Mina Shirakawa, which I understand. I would probably do something similar, but not when Toni Storm is there dying and she needs your help. Mariah, I love you. You're a goddess. But you're a snake. I thought this was a fun little segment. And seeing a now trio faction of Soraya, Harley Cameron, and Anna Jay. Soraya's got her new Outcast, and I can't remember if they gave themselves a name yet, but that's a pretty damn big group that they just set up, and Anna Jay being there, I think, is a nice little addition.
Yeah, it does two things. First of all, Harley Cameron, I love that they've kind of toned down the crazy character, because she was like the stabbing person, and now you got Anna Jay, who is she was basically in developmental for AEW for a lot of years, and she could end up being, I know Soraya is Soraya, but she could actually be the forward face of this group if they wanted to. They could be use this to get Anna Jay in a better position. I do like, and they're keeping Anna Jay on TV and keeping her active, and that's what you need to do. It's like, a lot of times it's not about just winning. Sometimes it's just about being present and being there. I love this new group. It's giving it a lot of energy. And then, you know, dude, I mean, okay. I'm going to try to say this as PC as red. Like, the whole Mina, Mariah, and Tony whole thing, I've dreamt of stuff like this, just saying.
Yes. Thank you for saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
That's basically where I'm at.
Right. I was like, so it's like, hey, so they got in Floyd's brain and Austin's brain, and they say, hey, what would they like to see? And they say, let me take these three women, and these two women are fighting over this woman, and yeah. And then these three women are like, dude, y'all forgetting about us. It's a lot of attractive going on there. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And it's like, it's not just attractive. All of these women can wrestle. All of these women can put on entertaining matches. Toni Storm might be one of the best women's wrestlers in the world right now. So there you go. And it's like, you have two store, what is it now, like three or four actual, three at least, women's stories going on right now.
It's significantly better than what it used to be.
Yeah, you got Mercedes doing her thing, fighting over the New Japan Strong title and defending the TBS title. You have Willow and Stat doing their thing, and now you have Toni Storm over there. When has the women's division in AEW been as active as it is right now?
Again, it's the Mercedes effect. Yeah. It's the Monet effect. That's what I said. Now that she was there, I should not be seeing just one women's thing.
And you're not. You're seeing multiple segments.
There's multiple things. Yeah. Earlier in the night, we had a Mercedes Monet video package ahead of her match that she's going to have at Forbidden Door. And it's just nice. And then we moved into a Owen Hart women's Owen Hart Foundation women's tournament quarterfinal matchup immediately afterwards. So, like, this is what I wanted. We have more women's stuff on the show, not just one match a night. Like, it's truly what I've been begging for. So I give AEW all the props for that. Like, thank you for finally getting your heads out of your ass for that matter. And again, that's Mercedes Moné showing her effect of being on the roster.
It's credit to Mercedes. It's a credit to Tony Khan. Because guess what? This wasn't done on accident. You know what I mean? He brought in Jen Pepperman from WWE. You know, it's not, because it's not just enough to say you want to be better. You have to show. You have to put the time in. There is a commitment. There is an investment. He is investing time into the women's division right now.
Yes. No, and it's great to see. It's genuinely great to see. Getting into that quarterfinal matchup between Chris Statlander and Nyla Rose. First off, so happy to see Nyla Rose, genuinely. And she got an amazing reaction, too, I will say, from the crowd. They were hyped to see her, which I was very happy to see. And the match itself was pretty damn solid, I felt like. There was good physicality in there. Their Statlander's new entrance with the introduction of Stokely does is lovely. And it was a fun little quarterfinal matchup that Statlander got a convincing win. I love that her finisher is now a Tombstone Piledriver. I think that's dope. Though Stokely Hathaway, who I give all the credit in the world and I love, how dare you with the Justin Timberlake diss? I understand he's an idiot who drinks while driving. He's a dumb motherfucker for that. But God damn it, if his last album wasn't spectacular and I still want to see that dude in concert. I will not stand here for the Justin Timberlake slander.
Every day is Saturday night. I love that line.
Every day is Saturday night.
And a very, very like understated thing that somebody might not have saw. She literally lifts him up and puts him on the step. Dude. I thought that was so cute. And there was no other way to say it. There was just no other way to say it. She lifted him up and put him on the step so he could get up.
So cute.
Yeah, so cute. It's like, you're like, oh my God. I loved it. I love her presentation. Again, you know, Chris Statlander, she took that back seat to Willow for a while, and that was perfect, and that's what needed to be done. But they have really revamped it in it, and it feels like her and Stokely feel like an act that's going to be around for a while.
And I like that a lot. Willow then appeared on screen congratulating her and was like, I don't know if you looked at the brackets, but I've got Serena Deeb on Rampage. When I win and move on, there will be no more running for you, Chris, because I'm going to get the chance to whip your ass and get one step closer to my goal of Wembley Stadium.
Yeah. Happy Juneteenth, and then she threatened someone's life. I love that. That is the Willow. Willow in a nutshell. And I mean, she's really, like, really good on the mic. Like,
no, she is, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I'm like, I'm putting aside my undying love for Willow right now to just like look at her as a wrestler. And you want to talk about someone that has been elevated over the last year, you know, with the Owen Cup, she won the Owen. I know a lot of people don't forget about that. She won the Owen. So she's actually trying to defend her run. And then being the TBS champion and the stuff for Mercedes, she has truly been elevated to like in that top tier of women on the company, in the company and out there. So you could very much see Willow being your AEW women's champion and it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would be an issue whatsoever. We then had a backstage segment with Private Party with Chris Jericho, basically just talking about they were looking forward to their match on Collision and also good luck on Rampage in the tournament. But I especially just love this week's lesson is this. When you're facing luchadors on Rampage, like I did in Mexico, I always avoided the pile driver. I always said, that doesn't work for me, brother. Take that advice. I was just Jericho. Oh, my fucking God. I was losing my shit at that line. I was laughing my ass off. That doesn't work for me, brother.
It doesn't work for me, brother.
Oh, my God, dude. It's so funny. It's so funny. Like, I love how extra he is. It's so ridiculous, dude. I cannot get over how much I love this stupid ass shit that Jericho is doing. Like, it's just, I'm thoroughly entertained. I'm thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is, again, and it feels like that's the story of AEW, like, Jericho at Dynasty. There was no, this was not funny. This was not anything. People wanted Jericho to go away. He's literally flipped this whole storyline on his head, and people love it. Whether it's ironic or not, they are loving what he does. And all he did is started being what everybody thinks he is. And it's been amazing.
Yeah. No, it's been so much fun. Daniel Garcia fought Rhett Titus in a quick little squash match. But then afterwards, with Daddy Magic Matt Menard on the broadcast booth like he is for Daniel's matches, Daddy Magic got choked out while he's on commentary after the match was over by Gates of Agony. And as that's happening, Brian Cage and Hechicero come up and they then beat up Daniel Garcia. MJF then comes out, goes right after Hechicero, and he clears house. And then Will Ospreay proceeds to come out and come to the aid of MJF. And as they knock out Hechicero and Brian Cage, you get a face-off of MJF and Ospreay. And people are just losing their minds. Absolutely losing their minds. They have a little stare down. Ospreay helps up Garcia. They kind of just acknowledge each other. And then Ospreay walks out. Holy shit. Like, just that little tidbit of a little bit of a nibble of like giving us that matchup. When we get that. When are we getting that? Like, that was just, dude. I love just the tease there.
It's so in their pocket. I could definitely see Ospreay versus MJF for the international title.
Sure.
At All In. And yeah, no one would have a problem with that.
Yeah. Oh, fucking amazing. Will Ospreay then was like, afterwards, like, I didn't give a crap about MJF. I needed to help Daniel Garcia. Then Brian Cage then fucking floored it down and he's trying to break through security, trying to get his hands on Ospreay. They challenge each other to collision, and he accepted to put up the title on the line. And so that's going to be happening on Collision this Saturday. So we'll quickly move over now to the main event, which is a men's quarterfinal matchup in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Claudio Castagnoli versus the Bastard Pack. Match of the fucking night between these guys. They did such a good job, dude. Such a good job. This was legit match of the night. This was so freaking good, and both guys wrestled their asses off. There was a point where Pack got thrown up in the air and got fucking uppercutted in the jaw, and like, oh my god, he got so much height on that. He got so much height on that. And Claudio wrestling his ass off. Pack, his strikes, too, on this. Like, he was kicking the shit out of him during this match. I didn't know who was going to come out with this one. This was one that I felt like could have gone either way. Because Claudio's a guy that I feel like could really use a win like this. But Pack has also been getting a good amount of usage. So I was like, you could give it to either guy. And I would have been perfectly happy. But as Claudio gets lifted up, Pack gets the brutalizer. Claudio turns that into a sharpshooter. And then Pack then got into a crossface. But eventually they were just cradles, reversals, just changing submissions and all this type of stuff. Back and forth in this just little bubble of transitions. But Pack gets the roll up that matters in the end and gets the three count and gets the pinfall. And Claudio was frustrated. And Danielson's like, dude, it happens. It happens. And he's like, you can tell just like, the respect is there, but man, Claudio was like, I should have had that. I was there. But big win for Pac as he moves on in the Owen Hart tournament. What a fucking match this was. This was a great way to close out the show.
Dude, I love the idea of just getting caught.
He was caught.
And it was just like, a lot of times in wrestling, back, I always said this back in the day, and I'm not saying back, I'm not one of those people that think just back in the day was just better. I am saying, back in the day, that's how world titles were a thing. It was like someone just got caught. You know what I mean? It was very, very, very rarely a definitive, I just tapped you out or I gave you my finisher. It was like someone, they were so good that the only way to win was someone got caught. And that's what it was with Pac and Claudio. They're so good. The only way this match was ending is someone got caught and Claudio got caught. And I loved him being so pissed off about it. It's just, oh my God. You know, when wrestling, my favorite thing is a simulated sport. And some people forget that. You know, you lose and you just kind of walk away. He lost and was legitimately pissed. And he didn't want to shake hands. He didn't want to say the better man won. He wanted to restart the match if he could, because he knows in his mind he is better than Pac. And that, I love that. I love the added. I thought him losing and his reaction elevated the Owen, because it was so important that he won the Owen. It elevated the match and it made Pac's match feel way more important.
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%. And that is what closed out this episode of AEW Dynamite. Real quick, I'm just going to preview what we have coming up on Rampage, which will be today when you guys are hearing this, and then Collision on Saturday. So first up on Rampage, you have the Owen Hart quarterfinal women's match between Serena Deeb and Willow Nightingale. There's going to be a TNT Championship qualifying match for the ladder match for Forbidden Door, Lio Rush versus Action Andretti. You're also going to have a private party and a tag match between Metalik and Commander. And then you're going to have AR Fox versus Shingo Takagi. And finally, Rey Fénix versus Turbo Floyd on Rampage. In terms of collision, you've got a big matchup between Kazuchika Okada and Ultimo Guerrero for a Continental Championship Eliminator match. Will Ospreay will defend the International Championship against Brian Cage. Chris Jericho and Big Bill will go in a tag match against Private Party. And then you're also going to have the Patriarchy, Christian Cage, Nick Wayne, and Killswitch versus the Iron Savages and Jack Jameson. And then I believe that is everything that was announced for Collision, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that is everything that could have that was announced for that. So I think we're good on the previews then.
Yeah, I love how Christian has just decided, you know what? I failed at the TNT champion. I didn't win the world title. Now I'm going after the Trios belts. And the first act as going after the Trios belts is to take out the House of Black, to piss off the House of Black. It was his first act as going after the Trios titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude does not give a fuck, does he?
He does not give a fuck. Flipping, damn.
Yeah, he does not care, does he? Like, dude, your first act is to go after, like, three of the most dangerous men on the roster. Yeah, that sounds brilliant idea. Brilliant idea.
No biggie.
Yeah.
But those are our previews for the upcoming shows for AEW. Now, we've got a lot of things that we want to touch about. We'll go real quickly because we had some matches. We'll talk about the brackets for the Owen Hart men's and women's tournaments that we got. So do you want to go through the brackets real quick, what we're at right now?
Correct. I actually had it in front of me just a second ago, and I exited out of it. Hold on just a moment.
You are all good, my man.
No, but yeah. Oh, yeah. So the first thing I will say, and I had up here, is that Leo Rush is now a regular member of the AEW roster.
He
didn't get the graphic or anything like that, so I don't know exactly if that means he is like officially a member or does he have just like a working agreement with AEW, but that was reported by Fightful, and I thought, you know, I was like, dude, that's pretty cool because I love Leo Rush, and I think when he understands his role and can execute, he fits right along with AEW because he can put on bangers. He's a rare talent. He's the 1% of the 1%. If you've ever watched his matches and see what he can do, that dude does stuff that other people can't emulate. You can't watch a Leo Rush match and say, oh, I'm just going to do everything he does, because he just does stuff athletically that you can't do. And so I really am happy for him. I'm open. I think what it is like he just needs to understand what you want from him. He needs to be treated like he's important. You know what I mean? I don't know Leo Rush, but from what I've seen when he's not worked out is when he doesn't feel like he matters, you know, on an everyday basis. Owen Hart tournament.
Yep, I've got the men's one right here. So first up, I will just say for the men's tournament, we have a lot of really good stuff in this one, I will
say. Okay, I got them now. Yeah, go for it.
So first up, like you said, we had Pac get the win over Claudio, which is big. We then had, let me make sure I get this pulled up the right way, because it showed the screen cap of it, but then didn't show the full thing. There's a wild card matchup, actually, I did see. We're going to have a wild card in this tournament.
Jeff Jarrett versus the wild card. Yeah, so that's awesome. And people ask, why is Jeff Jarrett in the Owen Hart tournament? Owen Hart's last tag team partner in WWE, one of his closest friends, was Jeff Jarrett. From what I've done every year, from what I've noticed on this for the 3 years that they've done it, they've had tried to do something with someone with a direct tie to Owen. Whether it was, you know, Dax and Cash wrestling each other because they were, you know, big fans of the Hart family. I think I forgot what last year's was. And then this year, they definitely have Jeff Jarrett with the tie to the Owen Hart in that way. So I just think that's appropriate. I doubt he's going to win. I don't know who the wild card is going to be. I've heard speculation. I've heard Ricochet. I don't think it lines up with his schedule.
My guess was Hangman.
Yeah, that's my guess too. Hangman Page. It's like, that's who I think is going to be, Hangman Page. I don't.
Yeah, I think is a fair guess.
Yeah. It'd be funny if it was Chris Jericho. Yeah. And then I'm gonna save the best one for last, because the last one that I'm gonna talk about, I am like on a scale of 1 to 10, 12 excited. So then we got Ray Phoenix versus Jay White. And, you know, Ray Phoenix, former international champion, former trios champion, former tag team champion. People might not realize that Ray Phoenix is one of the most decorated wrestlers in AEW history. Like, he has been a champion in three different divisions. Not a lot of other people can say that. Versus Jay White. Jay White, former New Japan champion. He is, like, super protected. Jay White is, like, dude, anytime the guns or anything lose, it ain't ever Jay White. So I do think that's a big match. And it's very much a clash of styles. Super high flyer. Jay White's a person that stares down. But the last match, and this has been announced for Forbidden Door. Dragon, the American Dragon versus the Rampage Dragon. Brian Danielson versus Shingo Takagi. I am a huge Shingo fan. He's my favorite wrestler in New Japan, and I don't even think it's close. It's not even relatively close. So, versus one of the best wrestlers in the world. I think this could be a match of the year contender.
I would not be surprised in the slightest if that was the case.
Yeah, yes, it's going to be the only thing that would make this better. I think Ricky the Dragon Steamboat has the special guest referee the match, right?
Be huge if we could do that, dude.
Yeah, please. I mean, you already got two dragons. You got to have Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And not even like, you know, oh, he's going to have me something to do. Just someone there to count the three. It's just like you got the dragons. You got to dragon it all the way out, right? Yeah,
so, pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Like, yeah, so no, I'm looking forward to it. I definitely want to give a shout out to my I'll actually do that later, but I'm looking forward to that match. And then of
the women, for the women's one, we have
Like I said,
Willow Nightingale and Serena Deeb, which will be on Rampage. We had Chris Statlander to get the win over Nyla Rose. Deonna Purrazzo will face Hikaru Shida first off on the other side of the bracket, and then Mariah May going up against Soraya in closing out that part of the tournament. So, I mean, just getting Willow versus Chris Statlander for the tournament to get to the finals is going to be huge.
So it's kind of cool because, you know, you're going to have Willow on Friday. It's probably going to be a Forbidden Door match. Because the show's in Long Island, and they're both from Long Island. Seems like that just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It feels like something that would be 1,000% happening. So.
Yes. They're going to kill each other. They're going to try to kill each other. Like, it's going to be amazing. You know, like,
absolutely.
I'm glad we're going to get to be there to watch it, you know, the kind of thing. Well, not be at the show, but, you know, we get to watch it.
We get to feel it and the emotion of it. And then we're just going to real quickly mention what we have for Forbidden Door currently, since we're just over a week away. Brian Danielson versus Shingo Takagi will be at Forbidden Door, the quarterfinal matchup, which is going to be fucking nutty. Orange Cassidy versus Zack Sabre Jr. The four people that are currently in the TNT Championship ladder match are Dante Martin, Mark Briscoe, Konosuke Takeshita, and Jack Perry. Mercedes Moné will be going up against Stephanie Vakur,
I believe that's how you Vakur, say it. Yeah, Vakur,
yeah. Yep. Tony Storm, and that'll be for the that's title versus title, actually, for TBS Championship and New Japan Strong Championship. Women's Championship for AEW, Tony Storm versus Nina Shirakawa. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match between Jon Moxley and Tetsuya Naito. And then, of course, AEW World Title match between Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay. That's everything, I believe, that we have currently announced, and we'll do our full preview of Forbidden Door next week on the go-home show. Couple other things that we have. Konosuke Takeshita was officially announced that he will be competing in the G1 this year, which I think is fucking... Oh, God, I want to see Konosuke run the table on the... It would be so cool to see him run the table.
Okay, and what we'll be doing on the show is we will be discussing his matches, the AEW involvement in G1. I'll be watching all of his matches, but if you want the full G1 match by match star ratings for every match, first of all, make sure you're following Keeping It Strong Style on Keeping It Strong Style at on Twitter. It's at KI Strong Style on Twitter. And make sure you are listening to Keeping It Strong Style every week. No one covers the G1 better than Keeping It Strong Style. The young boys, Josh Smith, Jeremy Donovan, they will keep you up on the blow-by-blow, all the different scenarios that can break out. They'll have, like, the interviews and stuff from people in New Japan. There is no one that's going to cover the G1 better than Keeping It Strong Style.
Not a single group will cover it better than them. Yes. That's for sure. One thing this was not mentioned, but I want to mention this before we get into our last two things for news, is AEW announced that they're going to be making their debut in Cardiff, which is big. So during All In, like heading into All In, they're going to be having Dynamite and Collision at the Utilita Arena in Cardiff. So huge. That'll be on August 21st. And tickets go on sale next Friday for that event. I want to make sure we mention that since their debut in Cardiff.
So I'm going there, right? I'm going to be in London, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to hit up my London people. If any of my London people listen to the show, I'm going to hit up my friends. Because I'm not worried about making it to Wales. There's trains all day. But is the show going to end in time for me to get on a train and get
right
back? Get back, or
that's
I'm
the biggest question.
Or do I need to get a hotel in Cardiff? So need to check that out with my friends. I sent it to my wife, and who the MVP of my life. I love her more than anything. And the first thing she's like, "So we're going to Wales." That's exactly how she put it. Like, we had plans, we had tentative plans for that week, and she's like, "Oh, so we're going to Wales," and it was that simple. It was a matter of fact. God, I can't tell you how much I love my wife. It was just right.
She's a legend.
Yeah, like, dude, it wasn't like, can we go to the show? There wasn't any question in her mind if we were going to the show. I didn't even have to ask. She's huge. Yeah, like, yeah.
She is absolutely huge. Yeah. And then just finally, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on real quick, or are we good?
Oh, we got our last two things.
Yeah, it's all good. I remember. So first
How did I do that?
I don't know. You did some things with the notes. You're doing some dumb shit. But yes. We got some bad news with
there
your
it
boy
is.
Gats. We got some bad news with your boy Gats. Yeah, we announced something on Instagram.
Yeah, he put out a video on Twitter and Instagram because he wanted it clear. He wanted to make it clear that this had nothing to do with AEW. This had nothing to do with the medical staff. They take care of the wrestlers. They make people take time off and want. It was him. He hit an injury. He's got a hematoma on his hip. It was big. I'm not gonna do the baseball, whatever size. It's big, right? So he has a hematoma. He got it in the ladder match. You know, they've been wearing long pants. He did that to try to get padding on it to take care of it. Finally, it just got so painful, he had to be honest. And he basically like, "I've been hiding this from you." And they immediately took him off the road. And him and Cash are staying home while he's injured. Maybe he'll need rehab. He's hoping that no surgery is needed. But he shouldn't be flying with the pressure on the hematoma. So they're going to be off the wild for an undisclosed amount of time. I'm hoping, me personally, we're about a month away from the collision collisions in Arlington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping they can get back by then. But at worst, I'm hoping they can get back for All In. So yeah, that was tough. That was a tough one. I was like. Is like, because it's a genuine concern, because I as much as I love FTR as a tag team, they're my favorite tag team ever. I mean, right there, they're my favorite tag team ever. You know, Dax been very good to me as a fan. He has treated me well, so you start to genuinely, you know, concerned, because you want them to live a long life and not be hurt. And you know, those those things like, "Oh, we got to keep going," and it's like, no, you don't. You know, you're almost a 40-year-old man. Sit your ass down when you're hurt, And I know every wrestler's hurt, you know what I mean? But when you're injured like that, that's not getting better, you need to take your time off. So I wish him a speedy and complete recovery, because the complete part is more important to me than the speedy part. You know, so absolutely. I want him to get all healed up. So that did suck. That was like one of those things, because he literally announced it on my birthday.
Yeah, that was brutal, dude.
I was immediately thinking of you when I saw the video pop up. June 10th, he announced it on my birthday, and that was like, air just came out of me. That was like, what? No. And then this one's more of a fun thing, and it's honestly me speaking to both sides of this argument. I put it in the notes like this for fun. Swerve put Busted Open in their place. And again, I put it like that, and it's like you can put the air quotes in front of it, because basically Bubba Ray was talking in his WWE vernacular, and he says that you know, Swerve was getting ready for a PLE, and Swerve's like, we don't do PLEs, we do pay-per-views. And good Lord, the Twitter ran with that.
Well, and also, but Bully immediately was, you could tell he was gypped about it.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for correcting me anyway. And I was just like, wow, this man's hot.
Yes.
Like, just off that.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of Bully's thing. He does, you know, he has a temper. And he might not, and the whole thing with Bully, he might not even cared. It's like, you don't know with him, because, you know, it's something.
You really don't know.
You really don't know with him. And I think that's exactly how he wants it. But it was like this situation where it blew up online, where it's like, Swerve put Bully Ray in his place. I'm like, dude, it's simple. Bully Ray is on Busted Open. Bully Ray is a professional. Dave LaGreca, Mark Henry, they're professionals. All right? So, as a professional, when you're speaking to someone from AEW, you should use the AEW vernacular. AEW doesn't do PLEs. They do pay-per-views. PLEs are premium live events that happen on a Peacock, and WWE's basically prepaid shows. It really does not matter how many people watch it or whatever, WWE gets paid. AEW's, like, their pay-per-view revenue is based on how many people pay per view, you know? So it really is, even though they are used interchangeable, they're very different things. So, yes, when you're talking to me in this professional setting, use the right fucking word. Use the right fucking term. I don't think he really put him in a place. I do think he did. If you want to talk about a part where he put him in his place, when they were really trying to basically say he hadn't been booked in the position as the world champion, he corrected him. And he was, to me, very supportive of his booking. And it's like, you know what? They are putting me in a position to be the guy in the company. And you might not see it yet, but, you know, the pieces are falling into place. And I just, like, I was definitely, like, I don't listen to this show regularly, but I'm a big proponent of not listening to clips. To me, I just can't. You need to listen to a few minutes before, a few minutes after to get the few contacts. And I thought that was where I was like, that's my champion right there. Is when he was talking about, you know, the criticisms of how he's booked. And basically, like, I'm okay with how I'm being booked.
Oh, yeah, genuinely. It was just fun to see the meltdown of both sides.
Yeah. Oh, God, just, yes, yes. A lot of times, that's me and you. We don't get involved in Twitter.
I could care less.
Yes, it's, yes, yes. We don't.
We're arguing the vernacular of what paid events for fake wrestling are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the difference if there's a difference between the two.
Yeah, it's
dog, I do not care.
It is fun to sit back and just watch everybody explode on each other. And I'll occasionally send Rich a lot of One Nation Radio. I'll send him direct messages, like, with my thoughts, because Rich is the best at Twitter. You go at Twitter.
He knows how to use it.
Yes, you come at Rich on Twitter, I'm literally just going to look at, because he's going to cook you. And it's like,
I will pray for you.
Yeah, because I'm like, dude, you're probably going to be deleting your account by the end of the day, because the dude's going to get you. I'm not as witty as he is. So I leave that shit to him. But yeah, I like, dude, it's fun to just watch. Just sit back and see the back and forth and the nonsensical arguments, sometimes on both sides. It's just, it is fun to go through. But I just thought that it's like, I remember when it happened, I wanted to like do a show right then, because I'm just like, dude, this is much ado about nothing. It's like, I do think he was right to correct him, because again, this is a professional setting. Now, right. Me and you, we probably use PLE and pay-per-views interchangeably.
Pay-per-view is my catch-all.
I don't call WWE stuff PLEs. I call it pay-per-views. Even though, you know, they're not pay-per-views, but...
Again, it's recency thing. It's like, I don't call fucking, like, for the longest time, I didn't call, there's this arena called the, Little Caesars Arena. I don't call it Little Caesars. I call it LCA. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Even if they change the name, I'm still going to call it LCA, because it's what I've grown up with. It's what I know it as. It's going to stay that way.
Yep. I am in Oklahoma City. Our Thunder playing in the Paycom Center. It was previously called the Chesapeake Arena, so they called it the Peak. I still say I'm going to the Peak every time I go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
The show is at the Peak, and people be like, "What's the Peak?" I'm like, "You know what the Peak is."
Exactly. And dude, there's an event place that used to be called Pine Knob in Clarkston, in Michigan. They then changed it to the DTE Center. No one called it DTE Center. They called it Pine Knob. And then they changed it back to Pine Knob, they should have.
I still call it the Sears Center Arena. Still call it the Sears Center Arena is where All Out and all that stuff takes place. I don't call it.
Yeah.
I don't call it.
Sears Center. It's not the Now Arena.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even remember the name, because I still just call it the Sears Center.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
So. Like, that's the biggest one to point it out as. So, and we don't have to care, because we're not professional like that. We're a fan podcast.
But you invite somebody on your podcast, you should use the vernacular of their company. Just saying.
Right.
Yes. As someone that's not a professional. I imagine, Austin, we actually do have a professional broadcaster.
Your thought process. If I was doing a professional interview with anybody from AEW or WWE for that matter, I'm using the vernacular and I'm doing my research.
Yes.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
It's your job.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we should ask a professional. Oh, we have one. Yes. Hello. I talk to a professional every day. So no, it's
on this show. I do what I want. Cause I enjoy shooting shit with my buddy Floyd on AEW.
Yes, absolutely. And one more shout out. I was a guest on the AEW match guide, where we talked about the top 10 matches over the last 5 years in AEW history. Make sure you go check that out. Sir Sam, friend of the show, Sir Sam, definitely does a good job. He does a lot of work on that. So it will give you an idea of what people value in their professional wrestling, because some matches that I loved and would have been my one or two, my one and two, only one of them is in the top 10.
Crazy.
Yeah, so you're going to see what people value, and I just think he does. It's like, to me, you should reward the effort when somebody puts in work, and he does that. Like, he is married, he has kids, he has a job. He takes those hours to calculate the votes. You know, he got on the phone and we got on the Skype and recorded for 2.5 hours. He took time out of his life and his day to put the show. Reward that by listening to the podcast. Not because I'm on it, but because, you know what? It's a good show.
Yes, absolutely. That, I think, will close things out on this episode of All Things Elite. I believe we've covered as much as we humanly possibly can that we've missed these last couple weeks.
Yeah, we didn't get everything. We didn't get everything.
We didn't get everything, but we got as much as we humanly could.
Yes. Forgive us.
But guys, thank you so much for being patient with us. Thank you for sticking around, listening to the show every week. We truly do appreciate you guys. downloading the show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you do. It means the world to us. Thank you so much for doing that. And please continue to do that and share, like, and rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, at Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible, and you should check out all the other podcasts they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumwitz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. I will leave you with wise words from Mr. Mark Briscoe that we got this week. Get your ass out of here, Jack Perry.
Yeah.
that's my wise words for how I'm going to close out the show. Floyd, yes. You can take us home on this episode of All Things.
All I will say is I'm going to leave with an apology. I will do a better job of when we're not going to do an episode, making sure I update the Twitter that we're not going to do an episode. Because that was me dropping the ball. Like Austin told me, when we decided we couldn't do the show, I really do need to put out a tweet like, oh, there won't be a show this week. I will do better at that. But that's the message as I leave you. Life, everyone messes up. Life's not about being perfect. It is about growing every day. As I'm through my 43 years, I am nowhere near perfect. I grow every day. I work every day to be a better person. I literally ask my friends when I do something wrong so I can work to be better than I am. And then I want to add this to it. At some point, you just have to realize that some things are just who you are. They ain't changing. I was in the car with my friend Sheila, and I forgot what it was. I was driving, and then I would talk to her, and I would look at her while I was talking to her. And she's like, you don't have to look at me driving. I'm like, dude, we've been friends since I was 21 years old. We're over 20 years. At some point, you're going to have to accept. I look at people when I talk to them. You're just going to have to get the fuck off. So understand, try to change what you can, but the stuff that you can't change, learn to love about yourself, because a person can love you more than anything in the world, but if you don't love yourself, you really have nothing. And with that, I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school. Always do your best to be elite.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.